Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stabitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yukta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Dham Sajivam Vetam Savadutam Prajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhina Bandhu Jagadpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapcha Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishuvana Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kaupa Dharubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Paditanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, Canto 6, Chapter 10, entitled Battle Between the Demigods and Vritrasura, text number 11. Please repeat. Shri, vigorously repeat. Shri Padarayanir Uvacha Evam Krita Vyavasito Dhadyan Nathavanas Nahavanas Tanum Pare Bhagavati Brahmani Atmanam Sanyayan Yaho Sri Padarayane Uvacha Evam Kritavya Vasito Dajanna Hadarasthanum Pare Bhagavati Brahmani Atmanam Sanyayanyayo Sri Padarayane Uvacha Evam Kritta Vavasito Tadyanna Havanasthanum Pare Bhagavati Brahmani Atmanam Sanyayam Yayo Sri Padarayane Uvacha Evam Kritta Vavasito Tadyan Athavanarasthamnum Pare Bhagavati Brahmani Atmanam Sayayan Yaho Maharajis, Vaishnavis. Okay, please repeat. Shri Bhadarayani Vacha. Shri Sukadev Goswami said, Evam, thus, Kritavavasitaha, making certain of what to do in giving his body to the demigods. Tadhyan Tadichi Muni Athavanaha, the son of Athava, Tanum, his body, Pare, to the Supreme, Bhagavati, personality of Godhead, Brahmani, the Supreme Brahman, Atmanam, himself, the spirit soul, Sanyayan, offering, Jaho, gave up. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Dahichi Muni, the son of Athava, thus resolved to give his body to the service of the demigods. He placed himself, the spirit soul, at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in this way gave up his gross material body made of five elements. Please repeat. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Dadichi Muni, the son of Athava, thus resolved to give up his body to the service of the demigods. He placed himself, the spirit soul, at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this way, gave up his gross material body made of five elements. Purport Srila Prabhupada. As indicated by the words Pare Bhagavati Brahmani Atmanam Sanyan, Dadichi placed himself as spirit soul at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this regard, one may refer to the incident of Dhritarashtra's leaving his body, as described in the first canto of Bhagavatam 1.13.55. Dhritarashtra analytically divided his gross material body into the five different elements of which it was made, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, and distributed them to the different reservoirs of these elements. In other words, he merged these five elements into the original Mahatattva. By identifying his material conception of life, he gradually separated his spirit soul from material connections and placed himself at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The example given in this connection is that when an earthen pot is broken, the small portion of the sky within the pot is united with the large sky outside the pot. Mayavadi philosophers misunderstand this description of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Sri Ramanuja Swami, in his book Vedanta Tattvasara, has described that this merging of the soul means that after separating himself from the material body made of the eight elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, false ego, mind and intelligence, the individual soul engages himself in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his eternal form, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anarya Arya Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. The material cause of the material elements absorbs the material body, and the spirit soul assumes its original position, as described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Yivara Swarupoi Nichera Nichakdas. Nichera Krishna Das. The constitutional position of the living entity is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. When one overcomes the material body through cultivation of spiritual knowledge and devotional service, one can revive his own position and thus engage in the service of the Lord. Sri Badarayana Vacha Ivam Krittava Vasito Dhajan Atavastanum Pare Bhagavati Brahmani Atmanam Sanyayan Yaho. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Dahichi Muni, the son of Atharva, and thus resolved to give his body to the service of the demigods. He placed himself, the spirit soul, at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in that way gave up his gross material body made of five elements. Mukam karochi vachalam pangam naite girim yad kripa tamaham vande shri guru dinatarinam. So, Dadichi Muni and Indra interacting. Narayan has appeared and is to Indra, who's been kicked off his perch in Swargaloka, and he said, go to Dahichi Muni, and from his body, his gross body, his external body, you can make a weapon that will defeat Vritrasura and the demigod, the daichas and the danavas, the demoniac entities that have taken your position in the material world. So that is very interesting. Before giving up his body to the demigods, Dahichi Muni, son of Atharva, he acted reluctantly, and it's stated in the text that he wanted to hear some spiritual instruction from the devas. Even though he is a great Muni, and we see from his detachment in this verse, detached even from his material body, ready to give it up, it's in the service of the demigods, still he wanted to hear from those demigods. They are attached, of course, to their position. That is the danger in the material world. We achieve some opulence, we become attached. Vita raga bhaya krodha manmaya mam upasritya putamad bhavam agata. How? Jnana tapasa. Many, many great souls in the past became purified from vita raga bhaya krodha. Vita means attachment. Whatever we have in this material world, we become attached. Actually, we should be attached to the Supreme Lord. But in ignorance of the Supreme Lord, we become attached to the paraphernalia of this body and the body itself. What to speak of our mind and our mental conceptions. This is also explained by Lord Brahma in his prayers to Krishna after the Brahma Vimohan Leela. He says, in this material world, people are attached to the external paraphernalia, the house, the land, the country, the position in society. And they think that this is my Atma, this is myself. But even more dear than those external things, society, friendship and love, he's more attached to his body. He thinks that this is my Atma, Deha Atma. This body is me. So he's very careful to dress it nicely and decorate it. Then even more attachment is for the mind and the mental conceptions. We interpret our experience in this material world and we come to some philosophy, or we may absorb some philosophy from some material politician, or and we become very attached. This is the prasatmika and avaranatmika buddhi. Prasatmika means throwing potency, gives you a false. These are the subtle effects of the Maya Shakti, besides the five gross elements. We get thrown into some false conclusion, some false premise, some false analysis about this world. And we see the external world given to us by pratyaksha, the senses, in terms of this mental world view. So we become very attached. Why? Even though it's foolish and even if it's disproved to us, we become detached. Why? Because avaranatmika, we become covered. So not only do we have a false conception in the mental platform, intellectual platform, we think it's correct. So therefore all these people, feminists, globalists, communists, capitalists, whatever, they all think that they have the right conception and they're ready to kill each other on the basis of it. That's the history of the world. Full of false conceptions, but very attached. And they live a life of violent ignorance. So the mental conception, we think, that is my Atma, myself. But then, those that have a little knowledge, they understand that myself is Jivatma, the spirit soul. And that is more dear. But then Lord Brahma explains, but even more dear than Jivatma is Paramatma, the Supreme Soul. Because that is our Atma also. Mavai Vamsa Jivaloke. We are part of Krishna. But in ignorance of Krishna, therefore Krishna says in that verse from the Gita, Puta Madbhavam, they attained my transcendental love. How? By jnana tapasya. By the tapasya of transcendental knowledge. If you absorb transcendental knowledge, then you understand that my real Atma is the Supreme Self, not this individual self. However, the Mayavadis, those with a poor fund of knowledge, the monists, they consider that therefore ultimately Jivatma and Paramatma is one. But actually, as Madhvacharya is famous for pointing out, it is two, Dvaitavad, that eternally the soul is distinct. Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, Angsa, yes, you're part of Krishna, but you're eternally Sanatana, therefore Vedic religiosity is Sanatana Dharma, therefore follows of the correct Vedic conclusion are Sanatanists, they're followers of eternal knowledge. And that knowledge is that we are Jivera Swarupoy, as Krishna explains, as Prabhupada explains in the purport here, we are eternally the servant of Krishna. Yes, there is a phrase in the Veda, Advaita Siddhi. Advaita means non-dual perfection. That means that you merge into the transcendental abode. But it does not mean that you lose your individuality. Sometimes the monist, they will say, Jai. Sri Sri Gonitai, Sri Guru Parampara, Krishna Balaram, Radhisham Sundalalit, Vishaka, Gomata, Tulsi Maharani, Giri Govardhan, Shalagram Maharaj, Sadhu Sangha Ki, Jai. So the monist, they will consider that, and they will give the example that Prabhupada gave in the purport, confirmed, that the pot breaks and then the air in the pot merges with the greater volume of air. They will also give the idea that sometimes a drop of water merges into the ocean. But actually the individual atom molecules and the individual of air or water, whatever the example may be, they retain their individuality. Just like you may see a green tree and then a green parrot will merge into the green tree. But does that mean it's become the tree? No, he retains his individuality. So the parrot is green, the tree is green, you may not be able to distinguish, but the individuality remains. So the Mayavadis have those. They have four basic theories of the jiva. They're explained by Bhaktivinoda in the Jiva Dharma. One is the reflection theory, that you fill a load of pots, but you leave them uncovered, and the sun will be reflected in the top of each pot. But then you break the pot, and then there is only the sun. So they think that once the material body is dissolved, then the illusory individual reflection of the sun becomes dissipated. You become one. And then they have the other idea that as Prabhupada explained there in the purport, that the content of the pot merges with the greater volume of the creation. And then the third theory of Mayavadi individual soul is that the Supreme Lord has come under illusion, and he is thinking that he has become many. They misinterpret the parts of the Vedas that explain this, that the absolute truth has become many. They misinterpret that to mean that the Supreme Lord, under illusion, has divided himself into many separate existences, many individual souls. So this is also another foolish idea, because how can the Supreme Lord be supreme if he comes under Maya and becomes illusioned by this conception of individuality when he's really one? That turns illusion into a power that is more powerful than the Supreme Lord, which is a contradiction. Illusion is more powerful than the Supreme. So therefore he shouldn't be called the Supreme Lord throughout the... Param Satyam Dimahi. He's not Param Satyam, he's something less than Param. He's not Supreme Soul, he's under the control of Maya. So this is all a nonsense, illogical idea. And then the ultimate one, number four conception of individuality is that nothing happened ever at all. Just the Supreme Lord imagines himself to become individual. This is, in Western philosophical terms, called solipsism. That everything is the product of my mind. That this whole idea of creation, everything, it's just my illusory projection. Just like a person paints a picture and becomes absorbed in it. So this is also a very powerful Mayavadi idea, but it is defeated by the fact is that when the painter paints his painting, he's in control of it. The painting is manifest according to his direction. But what kind of supreme paints a painting and then comes under the control of it? And we see in this material world that you may be thinking, sitting down, that I am the creator of the external, the objects and the means of perceiving objects and the perceiver. You may think that those three things are my lila. But why have you made yourself so miserable, and why can't you control it? Why are you subject to conditions that no sane person would subject himself to? Why are you subjecting yourself to typhoid, malaria, politicians, broken legs, stomach upset, Ayurvedic treatments of purgation? Why are you subjecting to yourself to these things out of necessity, out of no choice? Everything is being imposed upon you, but foolishly in your pramatta. That's pra means very mata. In your madness, you think that you are the productor, the producer. But you're under the control of your production. So what kind of person, what kind of creator are you? That you are under the control of your own creation. Of course, there's certain truth in that, in Vaishnava Rasa Tattva, that Krishna is the source of everything, Janmadi Ashiyata. Everything has emanated from Krishna, and his Swarup Shakti, Srimati Radharani, is in control of him by her devotion. Of course, this is Rasa Tattva. So he is controlled by the love of Srimati Radharani. He's controlled by the love of his devotees. But you're not controlled by love. Your mother won't even cook you breakfast. And your wife doesn't look at your stomach, she only looks at your pocket. So if you are the source of your creation, I think you should be doing a better job. But these thoughts he will never impose upon himself because of his pramatta, his madness and egotism and his yen to be the supreme. He cannot admit that he's under control. So, that is the Mayavadi conclusions. But Dahichi Muni, he's not. He's ready to give up his body. This is a very nice story. Indra, he is Kshatriya function. He is ruling the heavenly planets. And of course, it's Krishna's desire that Swargaloka, below Satyaloka and Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tabaloka, that is under the control of devoted soul. So Indra is a great soul. He performed 100 Ashwamedha yagyas. But even when Prithu Maharaj was on the planet, Shaktivesh, and he was going to perform number 100, Indra became a little envious, right? He thought, oh dear, who is this? He's going to take my position. Oh, it's the Supreme Lord, never mind. He can't have it. I'm Indra. Of course, Indra means king, king of Swargalok. He's actually not a person, it's a title. So he's temporarily there. So he stole away the Ashwamedha Yajna horse, trying to make trouble. So that is the problem. When we become in position, that fourth Mayavadi idea is the ultimate expression of this foolish egotism. When we want to be the supreme, it's exemplified in so many demoniac daityas and danavas, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, we all know the stories. But Vitrasura, interestingly, he is not demoniac. At the end of this chapter, it explains that though he was born out of the fire of Tarsha, the father that Indra had killed, father of Vishwarup, he also, and his father also, he has lineage connecting with the Asura class. So Vishwarup was offering yajnas for Indra, but he was giving a portion secretly, covertly, to the Asura clan. So Indra became upset, but the Asuras were getting Shakti from that. So he killed Vishwarup, and then all this trouble came from his father. His father performed a yajna, and Vitrasura appeared. And he was devouring and giving so much problem to all the demigods, but he wasn't finally killing them. He was devouring their opulences, their possessions, their positions, teaching them a good lesson. And it's actually explained in the text, the Indra's sinful activities. So even though Indra is up there, in heavenly planet, still he's subject to punishment and reward. Even though he's performed 100 fire yajnas, ashvamedhas, he is still under the laws of karma. Why? Because he's sakarma. He's with material desire. He's a bhakta, a great bhakta, performs so much karmakanda ritual, but he's still attached to the fruit of all that. And so therefore, he's got a headache. Because whatever, if we desire something in this material world, we desire what power, position, material opulence, sex life, dhanam janam sundarim. Dhanam means money. If you have money, then you get janam, you get followers. Oh yes, you're a great man. How much will you pay me? Yes, you're a very great man. How much will you pay me? Janam. And then sundarim, then you will have la dolce vita. Oh, you can enjoy the beautiful and brutal women things of life. But as Dhruva found out, if you have a big position and you go to Krishna for this, all you get is a big headache. Right? Big position means big headache. So of course that's a great austerity. The example is Yudhisthira Maharaj. He was on the throne, he was put there by Krishna, battle of Kurukshetra, you know the story of course. Krishna wanted him to be a ruler of Bharatvarsh, he wanted him to be emperor, he didn't want Duryodhana, expansion of Kali, Rakshas. He didn't want that person in charge, he wanted Yudhisthira. But Yudhisthira, when Kali Yuga, he saw the approach of Kali Yuga. Huh? What is that? Manda samanda matayo manda bhagya uparuta. That all these bad conditions in the people were arising. Then he just let down his hair without saying a word and left for the north. And entered into another section of Jambadweep on the Bhumandala section. Bhagavatam explains many things, gross and subtle, side by side. So if we want to make a model of Bhumandala, we have to understand that. For people on the gross platform, they are conditioned by the gross senses. But those that are on the transcendental spiritual platform, they don't see through this gross material body, the limitations of this body. They see with consciousness. Sukadev Goswami, Bhadarayanir, here mentioned, son of Vyasadev, he can see gross and subtle just as easily as we see the gross. So when he describes the fifth canto, the layout of the universe, he is describing both gross, subtle, transcendental, multidimensional aspects as easily as we describe the road to Delhi. But because we are on this gross platform, we think that the description that he gives in the fifth canto is also just the gross description. But we are bound. For the transcendentalist, he sees everything very nicely. There is one Vaidyanath Thera in the Madhva Sampradaya. He wrote one book couple of hundred years ago, and he was a great mystic in the Madhva section of our Sampradaya. He wrote one book, Bhughola Vadanam, where through his mystic power he went on a tour of the universe, and he wrote it down in this book. You can get it. You can download it from the internet. But you'll have a hard time following it exactly, because we are like the bull. Prabhupada gives this example in discussion with the Bhaktivedanta Institute. He says, just like a bull, you know, a threshing bull, there's a post in the ground, and the bull is tied, and he walks around the bull. He walks. So he cannot break free because he's tied to the central post. So the conditioning living entity, through his material body and mind, and the misconceptions and the limitations of this material mind and body, can only see in terms of this material body. He cannot see things beyond his sensual input. He may expand his vision with a microscope or a telescope, but still it's going through this globular piece of jelly. into his mind, like we say, which is full of misinterpreting, misunderstanding about how life is. But he thinks, I'm the measure of all things. So anyway, Yudhisthira Maharaj, he went north and he crossed over into different regions of the Bhumandala system. It's explained there in Mahabharata. One by one, his brothers, they passed. But then there was a black dog following him. You know the story in the Mahabharata, right? And he refused to go to Swargaloka. A voice invited him, come now, Yudhisthira. Krishna has put you on the throne. You're not attached to the position. You're doing it as service. You and the Pandavas are in position because of service. So it's not a headache for you because you're not Vita. You're not attached. You're not attached to the position and the salary and the opulence and the respect. You're not attached to that. So you were serving, we know, out of love for the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. So now come. Take your... Yudha said, no. This dog has taken shelter of me. The dog followed. So I cannot go. He's taken shelter. He's my dependent. I shall not go. That is dharma. And then he explained. Then the dog manifests, I'm Yamaraj. Yudhisthira is expansion, son of Dharmaraj. So the dog manifested, yes, we're giving you a test. So that is the devotee. He will take power and position in this world as service to Krishna. And he will give up his material body, just like the Dahichi here, as service to Krishna. He knows, Dahichi Muni, that this is the request of Narayan to Indra. So he's ready to give up the body. So we may think that this is very extraordinary. We may read these events in the Bhagavatam, but we think man is the measure of all things. So the foolish material scientists, they read about this. Later on there's a battle, and Indra throws a club at... Indra throws a club at Vitrasura, but Vitrasura was full of bones. He just grabbed the club and he hit Airavata, the elephant carrier that Indra sits upon, hit him on the head, and it was completely shocked, the elephant, poor elephant. But then it says Indra, he put his nectar-producing hand on the elephant and cured the elephant in a few moments. We could do it, doctors, like that, instead of going to Hodal, something. Anyway, some somaras, that's how the demigods stay so vigorous. So anyway, we read that and we think, well, that doesn't fit in with what I have to do in earth. If I pull my shoulder blade, then I have to wait 3 weeks, 1 week, I have to rub Maharanarayan tail in there. I have to carry it in a sling. I have to be very careful. I've got an excuse to not work hard. There's always a good side to it. So anyway, we have so many conditions. And that doesn't match what I'm reading here. Therefore, it's all imagination. I'm the measure of all things. This is the foolish material society now. These foolish scientists, they examine through their telescope what they're actually seeing. They misinterpret, they don't know. And they're looking, is there life in the universe? Well, that life, it must be just like it is in my backyard, in my hometown. So let me look for conditions in the planet, in the universe, 6 billion miles away on this planet revolving this star. He's actually imagining that he's examining the conditions of life on some planet that he even will admit it's 1 billion light years away. And I know the conditions on this little speckle in my microscope or my telescope. I know what it's like there, and there might be human beings like us. Huh? watching television at this time. Because that is life. Life should be in terms of how I am experiencing it. I'm the measure of all things. And with my pocket calculator, I will calculate the reality. Huh? It's just egotism, is it not? To think that according to me, life should exist. Huh? But even on this planet, we see, we go to the bottom of the ocean, there's cracks where volcanic eruptions occur. And it's so hot, the water doesn't boil because of the pressure of the ocean. It's incredibly hot water. But if you go down there for a swim, preferably in a submersible, you will see that there are aggregations of living entity. There is a coral, there is a life system, there are plants. There are little animals there that have lights coming out of there and they light it up. And other fish come and they bite them and eat them. So they're a light unto themselves. And if you were to stay there and have a talk with them and said, well, actually, I'm from the top. I'm from the earth. They said, what's earth? Well, it's kind of solid thing that you walk upon. Ah, you're kidding me. Water is the only thing that exists. Life must exist in terms of water. What are you talking about? You walk around. And you've got aeroplanes. What's an aeroplane? I'm already floating. Huh? Oh, and you have mobile phones that you phone the other side of the world. How is it possible? Huh? Oh, you have to pay money. That explains everything. So in this way, we hear about the demigods, the devas, the asuras, the rakshasas, 8,400,000 species. I'm with you. Oh, that's all extraordinary. That's a good imagination Vyasadeva has. We don't understand that these are great sages and their vision is on the transcendental platform. It's not filtered through this gross body. So then we just say, oh, how can we dismiss this disturbing information? Avaranatmika buddhi. I'm covered by my misconceptions. How? No, it must be just mythology. It's all nonsense. So, that is a condition. But here is the solution to that avaranatmika. It's given here that Dahichi Muni, he was not meditating on the external paraphernalia. He knew it's there. Like I say, the external, the body, the mind, the soul. It explained here, he unified his Atma with the Supreme Atma. He placed himself, the spirit soul, at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in this way gave up his gross material body made of the five elements. So Prabhupada there explains there in the purport, right? He gives the example earlier in the Bhagavatam, first canto, Dhritarashtra. So these are all great souls. They know the yogic process. They withdraw the consciousness, the focus of the consciousness, from the external world. Then you focus on the body. And then you withdraw the focus of consciousness to within the mind. And then you withdraw the focus of the consciousness within the Atma. And then, knowing yourself to be non-different with that Supreme Atma, in terms of what we explained earlier, you merge that individual Atma, Jivatma, with Paramatma. Manmana bhavamad bhakto. But Krishna says, in devotional mood. You see? So this is what Dahichi is doing. This is called kaivalya sometimes. The process of ecstatically unifying the individual soul with the Supreme Soul. In lila. And the exchange between that Supreme Soul and the individual soul, that is lila. That ecstatic interchange. So we should understand that that is the goal of yoga practice. Param satyam dimahi. Right at the end of the first verse in the Bhagavatam, right at the beginning, janmadi ashyata itaras abhegya saswarat tene brahma hridaya adhikavya. Right? I meditate upon that supreme absolute truth from whom everything has emanated, who lives in his own abode, eternally removed from the external phenomena. I meditate upon that transcendental Lord who is param satyam, dhimahi. What is that verse, Rig Veda? Suryaha. That the devotees, they eternally see the Supreme Lord in his transcendental abode. Yes, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pasyanti Suryaha. So the devotees, they meditate. They have to do with the external world. You have to drink your water and take your medicine. But their consciousness is on the Supreme Lord. Dhimahi. They're contemplating bhaktosime in a devotional way. They're favorable. So they're not subject to illusion. Didami buddhi yogam tam. Krishna gives intelligence. How you can realize jnana tapasa madbhavam agata. And thus through purification by spiritual knowledge, through perception of Krishna directly and personally, then you madbhavam agata. Then you attain bhava, transcendental affection, love for Krishna. So yes, there are two features to the Supreme Lord. There is this external material energy, but there is the transcendental energy. So the Mayavadis, they also say, oh, it's all one. In one sense, it's all one, because it's all related to the Supreme Lord. Just like in a house, there's many rooms, but when our attention is not on the toilet, we want to live in the living room. There we can have a conversation. The toilet is there. So this material world, we don't meditate on the material energy as the goal, as now yatamattatapat, all this nonsense. We meditate on the transcendental Lord in his supreme abode. We understand the material energy. What is that verse in the Isupanishad? Avijyam cha avijyam cha yastadvedo bayam saha. That those that know how the material energy works and the spiritual energy works can transcend the influence of the material energy and thus attain the nectar of immortality. So yes, the material world is there, but we're not. This is the mistake of the modern civilization. They think that by manipulating the material energy, they'll get improvement in life. But that is not so. Improvement of life is to meditate on the Krishna in transcendence. Seva sadaka rupena siddha rupena chitrahi. Yes, with this sadaka rupena, we perform so many activities, but in our siddha rupena, we should be absorbed and realizing our relationship with Krishna. That should be our internal landscape. That is bhakti. Yes, we perform so many preaching activities, giving mercy to the conditioned souls. But we also must develop our realization of transcendence. Don't be like Denikasura. Or don't read those things about transcendence. Oh, no, no, just work like a donkey. I'm a donkey, you're a donkey. So stay a donkey. No, all the Shastra, Bhagavatam, it is telling us right from the beginning, Param Satyam Dhimahi. And how is that? Jnana Tapasa. The tapasya of spiritual knowledge. By voluntarily absorbing oneself in the Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, all the writings of the Goswamis, Jaiva Dharma, Chaitanya Shikshamrita, all the great songs
Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we should be thoroughly conversant with those things. That is nectar. It is not tapasya in dry renunciation, sitting like in the Kumbh Mela, making cow dung fire and sitting in the middle. No. That is foolishness. Read the Bhagavatam in a comfy chair. You make much more progress. So, this is the Bhagavatam. It is teaching us realms that are beyond our conception, even in the material platform, Swargalok, and all the events. And it is also introducing us into the transcendental realm. Therefore, Golok, Gokul, 10th canto. This is preparatory. So thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada Srimad Bhagavatam Sadhu Sangha Ki Jai. Any question? Yes, one question. Don't worry, the prasadam is there. I'll answer quickly. Yes. Well, Dahichi is already transcendental. It doesn't really matter where you are, Narak, Swarga. If you're remembering, if you're absorbed in Madhavam, in transcendental love for Krishna, it doesn't matter. Naham Vaikunthe, you know, I'm not in Swargalok. I'm where my devotees are. That's where Krishna is. You may take birth in the heavenly planets because that's Krishna's desire.
We're here in heavenly planets, there's such opportunity for sense gratification, there's so much opulence. So why
would that's only distracting for the materially motivated. Above Swargalok, there's Gyanalok, Tapalok, Mahalok, Gyanalok, Tapalok, Satchalok. Increasingly, there's more and more Vaikuntha atmosphere. So the great sages, they may perfect their bhajan, their param satcham dhimahi, in those realms. Up to Swargalok, there's still a touch of passion, an increasing goodness up to Swargalok. But passion is still there. Therefore, Indra gets angry, makes mistakes. But above Swargalok, then it is pure goodness mixed with transcendence. You understand? It's like in Mahalok, it's like 25% Vaikuntha atmosphere, 75% Satchalok, Mahalok, Gyanalok. Then it's like 50-50. Then in Tapalok, 75% transcendental atmosphere, 25% goodness. In Swargalok, Satchalok, Lord Brahma is there, then it's like 95% goodness. This is just by way of illustration. There is the Mahapurush is there. So it's a very transcendental place. But still it's touched by the material energy. So a great sage, he may go to these realms and sit in those places. Just like on this planet, in Bhumandala. If you want to perform meditation, you don't sit in the middle of the roundabout. You go to the forest. You go to a quiet place where there's less distraction. You understand? So great sage, by grace of Krishna, by grace of Guru, he may go to those realms and perfect his contemplation in a suitable atmosphere, his realization. It all depends on the level. Just like Vritrasura, he was not as advanced as Dahichi. He was still on the bodily platform somewhat in Swargalok. He was still giving a part of the oblations of the fire yajna to the Asura because he was related in that way. But Dahichi, he's off the bodily platform. So this is not necessarily just a description of Swargaloka. The entities, as you go up from Bhumandala, it becomes less and less gross. And like we say, their bodies are more capable of transport, going here and there. Indra, his carrier, is an elephant. But you think you can fly up in the sky on an elephant in this world? No. This is not a gross element of Bhumandala. And also as you go down below, Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Mahatala, Rasatala, Patala, if you go down, then passion is giving way to Tamagun. The Asuras are down there, very dark, sadomasochistic, horrible place as you go down. And then you go down to Narak, below Patala. So we are now stuck on Bhumandala. This is the most gross section of the universe, Bhumandala. We are stuck in this bag of bones. So people, they take birth in different areas. The siddhas, they are born with all astasiddhi. The great sages, they develop all siddhis as a side effect of their bhakti. They can travel here and there. Just like I was explaining that great saint in the Madhva section of our Sampradaya. He wrote his description of the universe and he went in subtle form. So you can attain that. But on different realms, people are born with these abilities. You understand? It explains later on in this chapter that the battle actually took place upon Bhumandala between Vitrasura. So the demigods, they're not restricted. It explains in the Bhagavatam that previously, Treta Yuga, that the demigods would come to earth. They would manifest at the yagyas. Just like Narada Muni, he can come here. Prabhupada once said he came to the London Rath Yatra. So, we are bound by this gross body. So we think everything should be in this terms. But the Bhagavatam, we have to meditate on Bhagavatam. We have to contemplate the import of Bhagavatam. We have to perform jnana tapasa, and we have to perform sadhaka, and we have to awaken seva bhav. And then Krishna gives us realization of both the material and spiritual creation and all the sections of the material creation. What's that verse? Yasya deve para bhakti, yasya deve tathagaro, tathyate kahita yatha prakashante mahatmana. If you have implicit faith in Krishna and Guru, then all the import of Vedic literature, particularly the Bhagavatam, the summation, is automatically revealed. You perceive Krishna not through the gross body, but through the senses. So, these living entities, they know how to withdraw the consciousness. It explained there in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita that when Narada Muni, he's going to different devotees, he goes through the mind. He goes with his mind and his body follows the mind. Just like you want to go to Delhi, your body follows you, right? But you have to use all the gross contrivances. You have to get a bus and a ticket and so on. So your body follows your mind. But these persons are highly developed in tapasya and austerity and realization. And their body is not gross configuration like this. Just like your mind, they call it astral planing, right? You try to go in your mind, you go when you're going between sleep and wakefulness, try to go someplace. What do they call it? Astral projection. You try to So that is a very gross, flimsy thing that they try to teach. But this is how the universe. You see, the material scientists, they say that the subtle consciousness and the mind is produced by the gross. No. Actually, the body and the mind rest upon the consciousness, and the consciousness rests upon the Supreme Lord. So when this consciousness is highly realized in the presence of the Supreme Lord, then he develops all siddhis. He becomes Kaivalya. He becomes above the material law. But when his consciousness is confined to the external world, that external world controls him. You understand? But Kaivalya, it means that you merge your soul and your consciousness with Krishna, and then because you're qualitatively different, non-different from Krishna, then by his grace you develop power over the material energy in the same way that he has power over the material energy. This is highly esoteric knowledge, but it's not too difficult to understand. Just like pearls are strung upon a thread, Krishna says, Sutri Mani Gana Iva. Why is this in a shape? Because of the subtle effect of the thread. The thread is making the shape of the neck beads into a necklace. Right? So everything is resting upon the potency, the thread of the Supreme Lord. Even the soul is pervaded. Krishna says, Savagata, I'm pervading everything. So the soul, your consciousness, your bones, your mind, your thoughts, your cloth, everything is resting upon Krishna. But we have bahirmukh, we're externalized in our attitude. We're not param satyam dhimahi, we're not meditating on the transcendental Krishna. We're mayavad, we think, oh, everything is Krishna, yes. But that is not the recommendation, to meditate upon everything. If you unify Kaivalya, if you become a Vaita Siddhi, then just like Krishna is above the interactions and he's the controller, Abhigyaswarat, he's self-sustaining, independent, then you can also control the material circumstances by his grace. So, you understand? It's quite simple. Even in this material world, right, they say, psychosomatic disease, right? If somebody has some neurosis, it may manifest in a gross form, right? I'm worried about this. So then I get migraine, or I may get some cancer or some problem. So similarly, if you want to be healthy, you should imagine I'm healthy. Even if you're going to hotel and drinking all sorts of water. So the mind, even in our low class consciousness, is still affecting the gross body. So therefore Krishna says, what does Rupa Goswami says? You should be enthusiastic, patient, confident. You should think, yes, I will succeed in bhakti. You shouldn't be thinking, oh, I'm no good, I'll never make it to Krishna Loka, I'm so fallen. Let me go to the MBT and have three pizzas. I won't bother going to Mangalarti, I'm too fallen. No, you should have a positive attitude. I'm not saying that's your condition. I can see you're a vibrant brahmachari. But we should think, yes, Lord Chaitanya, he's come to give love of God. He's very forgiving, just like a mother, right? Sometimes people say, should women be equal to men, right? Women's liberation. But actually, when Krishna takes the mood of Radharani, the feminine mood, he becomes Namo Mahavananyaya. He becomes more generous. So you can make a strong argument that women are better than men, because when Krishna takes the mood of Radharani, he becomes Namo Mahavananyaya. He becomes more generous, more forgiving. Right? So in this way, You have to understand, if you meditate on Krishna, then you will get Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. You will get all intelligence. But people, they identify with the body. I'm a man, I'm a woman, I can't do this, I can't do that, I want to be like that. It's all external ambition. It's all nonsense. We should Param Satyam Dhimahi. You understand? We realize Krishna. That is the goal of Bhagavatam. It starts with that. And then all these stories about Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, the Pandavas, you should think, I'm going to enter into that. You're made for that. You're not made to fight down in this world, scrub around in this grubby material world. You're meant for a much higher life. You understand? So you get there by Param Satyam Dhimahi and service to Guru and Sadhu and study of Shastra. And then everything is open. That is the grace of Krishna. He hasn't made you to suffer this material world and the restrictions. We're not meant to live in Tihar jail, right? We're meant to live a free life. So take it. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shri Nityananda Panchatattva Ki Jai.